Stat Hero, the first ever daily fantasy sports book that gives the player the advantage. Go to stathero.com/lockedon for 300% back on your first play.
You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. We're in mid-June, everyone. It is June 10th, 2021. I'm going to be talking about the Braves, who are at a crossroads. I'm going to talk about instant replay, which should not be this complicated, and do a quick zoom around the league with some of the other hosts of the Locked On Podcast Network. This show is available on the free and easy-to-use Odyssey app. We're also available wherever you get your podcasts. When you get your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB, or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball, and also check out Locked On Now with our host, Peter Bukowski. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On MLB Pods. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. So yeah, it is June 10th. We are in the middle third of the season, which basically means teams have enough games under their belt to see if they're contenders or not. And they still have enough time to make improvements and maybe patch up holes to move up in the standings, or make the decision to cut bait and realize that the season is lost and trade away veterans and retool for next year. There are hard decisions to be made by some teams who are in mid-seesaw. And I've talked a lot about the Cubs, who thought they were going to be big, big sellers. But here we are. It is mid-June, and the Cubs are in first place by themselves. That's bizarre, okay? But the most bizarre team, I think, is the Atlanta Braves. Remember the Braves? They were up 3-1 in the NLCS last year and had a 2-0 and a 3-2 lead in Game 7 of the NLCS. They were counting the outs away from the World Series against a Los Angeles team who went on to win the damn World Series. And I felt like going into 2021, if any team could knock out the two Southern California teams from the NLCS and represent the National League in the World Series, it would be the Atlanta Braves. But here we are. It is officially mid-June. And as of this recording, I'm recording this in the morning of June 10th. Forgive me, I decided to go to bed last night. The Braves are still sub-500. That is not something I foresaw going into this year. And five times they've had the chance to get above 500 this year, and they are 0-5 in those games. Now, last night, they got a solid performance from young Tucker Davidson and his young battery mate, William Contreras, only to see Phillies rookie Luke Williams hit a walk-off two-run home run for the victory. Boom, sub-500 again. Now, the Braves have had some bright spots in 2021. Ronald Acuna Jr. is having an all-star season. Might get some MVP consideration with a dynamite second half. Austin Riley has been great. The aforementioined William Contreras has shored up the pitching staff. Tucker Davidson, who I mentioned before, has been terrific in his first few starts after being promoted. And he's gone from a potential trade chip to possibly a mainstay in the rotation. Ian Anderson has, for the most part, been solid in the rotation. But you have defending MVP Freddie Freeman, who, despite still hitting home runs, has seen his overall production nosedive. Dansby Swanson's not been producing. And, of course, Marcelo Zuna has emerged as a piece of garbage with his domestic violence suspension. He should be thrown out of the league. Max Fried, who was so good last year, has been mediocre. Charlie Morton was brought in to be a workhorse, and he's been not great. He's not been horrible, but he's not been the upgrade that they were hoping he would be. And the bullpen's a mess. Luke Jackson is like the only reliable arm they have in that bullpen right now. And they need to, if they still have the ambitions of getting to the World Series in 2021, they need to make some impact trades to help turn this team around. The best pitching trade chip out there right now is Max Scherzer. But how likely is it will the Nationals trade him within the division? I personally think it's ridiculous to be concerned about in-division trades. You make the best trades you can, but I'm not running a team. The Braves, they have young pitching to deal. They are at a strength when it comes to setting up trades. Even if they decide to keep Davidson in the rotation, which I think they should because he's been pitching well, and that could potentially fix a hole from within, they have some other people they could trade, Kyle Wright or 23-year-old Bryce Wilson, who has been in the big leagues for the last few years up and down, has some major league experience. They could be packaged to bring in a bat or an arm. But this is what the whole middle third of the season question comes in. They need a new bat in the lineup that could be an impact bat that hopefully would stir up Freddie Freeman. So that's like you bring in a good bat and then you improve Freddie Freeman's production. That's what you're hoping for. You need to get a not just a okay arm, you need to get a very good arm in their rotation, take a little bit of the pressure off of Freed and Morton. And you need, I think, at least two arms in the bullpen that can make manager Brian Snitker a little more confident in the late innings. Now, the Braves, they could click in the second half. They could overcome that six game in the loss column gap with the Mets, face a National League Central team in the division series that is beatable because there's no powerhouse in the Central. I mean, the Brewers and the Cubs and the Cardinals are potentially good, but they're certainly beatable. And then face either one of the California teams in the NLCS and hope you upset them going to the World Series and you take advantage of this window of opportunity. But think of what that would cost them. I just rattled off the Braves' need for four players. In order to get four players in a seller's trade market that would make an impact on the playoff race, the Braves would have to cough up at least five trade chips. Now, if the Braves were in first place, this would be a no-brainer for me. You shore up those holes, and you use this as the time is now rallying cry. But they're not in first place. They're sub-500 right now. I know it's relatively early, but it's not April. It's not May. It's no longer even early June, and they still haven't gotten their nose above 500. And the team that is in first place, the Mets, well, they have an outstanding pitching staff, which means they're probably not going to go into a prolonged slump. And their lineup is starting to click. Last night, they homered at will. Could the Mets collapse? Of course they could collapse. Will the new ownership do everything in their power to prevent that? It appears that they would. The Mets need complementary pieces. The Braves need turn the season around impact players. The Mets need like a number four starter, a middle reliever, a down the order bat. The Braves are thinking Trevor Story and Max Scherzer, who could cost them the farm. Now, look it. This is why the middle third is so interesting. You got to wonder, are the Braves better off keeping their powder dry, hoping they turn things around the next couple of weeks with internal solutions, like I just said, in terms of, you know, the young kid who pitched well the other day, Tucker Davidson, and bringing up players from the farm system and getting low-cost options like Chris Davis with a K, who was DFA'd the other day, who may have a little burst of power coming into the Braves to prove everybody wrong. That might be enough and would be to win a couple of games and would cost them nothing. okay? And if they keep those trade chips, keep the really good trade chips, and try to do the internal solutions, then you go into the 2021 offseason knowing that the core of this Braves team is intact for next year and still relatively young. And maybe if it didn't work this year, which so far it's not, but you keep the band together, use those trade chips to improve the team going into the 22 season, then I don't know, maybe that's the smart thing to do. This is why these middle 2 months are so intense. They could make the move that makes this Braves team the team that gets over the hump and creates an impact for an entire generation, goes deep in the playoffs, maybe goes to the World Series, sells tons of season tickets and ad sales on their television and blah, 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 blah. Or they make the move like the White Sox did a few years ago that cost them Fernando Tatis for a pennant run that didn't work. Well, first things first, they've got to get to 500, which they have a shot to do this afternoon. But do you know what? They got to do it first. So this is why the front office gets paid the big bucks. What do you do with this team? Do you pop the hood? Do you tinker with it and hope it runs better? And if you need to pop your hood and work on your car to have it go better, go to rockauto.com. You know, chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody. It does not require membership or an account login. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand specifications and prices you prefer. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection and reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need are at rockauto.com. Hey, let's talk a little bit about Stat Hero. Did you know 85% of people who play daily fantasy sports lose? Is it really surprising? The game is rigged against you. You're playing against thousands of other lineups, not to mention experts with more tools and more time. You don't stand a chance. Introducing Stat Hero, the first ever daily fantasy sports book that puts the player in control and winning within reach. Here's how it works. Stat Hero shows you their lineups and dares you to beat them. It's you versus the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup. You name the stakes, winner takes all. You have the advantage. Stat Hero is showing you the lineups ahead of time. No one else does that. You're in total control. Stat Hero is the daily fantasy sports the way that's meant to be, one-on-one. Play Stat Hero now and change the odds. Go to stathero.com/lockedon. Sign up for free, and right now you can get 3x back on your first play. They're giving you 300% match. That's unheard of. Go to stathero.com/lockedon. stathero.com/lockedon. You know, there's been a lot of talk and controversy about the instant replay that's been going on. And there was a big long break that I think it was Gary Cohn was going off against, that the umps were taking forever on a call. And in the end, it wasn't what everyone saw on the video. And there was a play the other day where the center fielder for the Diamondbacks made a catch. He caught it. He hit the wall. It was still in his glove. And then it fell out of his glove after he had caught it and maintained control. And maintained control long enough for it to be a catch. And they said, no. He dropped it. And it became a game-turning RBI triple. Probably could have been an inside-the-park home run. When every replay showed he caught it and held onto it long enough to maintain control. And here's something I don't understand. I've been screaming, I was a huge advocate for instant replay. And I still think it's good to have instant replay. It's darn right insane to not use the technology that we have in our hands to make the correct calls. That's the whole point of it, is to make the correct calls so that we go through the rest of the game without having a critical moment be incorrect. A baseball game is the end sum of a bunch of events. You add them together and they become, the sum becomes the result of the game. If you have an incorrect part of that sum, it goes on a different trajectory. A blown call, someone called out when they're safe, vice versa, changes the outcome of the game in ways that you can't imagine. An inning is cut short because of an out. You don't know what rally could have gone on. A rally is prolonged instead of it being ended. You don't know if that could have been an impact. And you look back and you see frustrating moments. You know, obviously the most egregious of all time is the Don Degichir play. But I brought up before, 2 years later, in Game 7 of the World Series between the Twins and the St. Louis Cardinals in the 87 World Series, there were three huge blown calls. Two went against the Cardinals, one went against the Twins. One of them took place at home plate, and another involved an out that could have ended what was the game-tying rally, what turned into the game-tying rally in Game 7 of the World Series. And to say that the trajectory of that game could have gone this way or that way based upon a blown call is something that's aggravating. That you have the human error, I want to be on the field with the players. A player can drop a ball. A player can make a bad decision. A player can throw the wrong base. A player could miss first base like Hayes did in his home run when he hit for the Pirates. But I don't want the officials to have the human error because they're supposed to be logging what really happened, especially when we have the opportunity to do that with the technology, which is why you had like that called third strike against Rougned Odor with two outs in the bottom of the ninth and the winning run on third in the Red Sox-Yankee game the other day. It was absurd that we have to act like that wasn't ball four when we have the technology that happened immediately. People were sending it out on, Twitter 2 or 3 seconds after it happened. Use the strike zone machine that we see on TV for the strike zone. No one would protest. But the thing that drives me bananas is the delay. And the one thing I've been saying forever is that instant replay should take 30 seconds. 30 seconds. When you see them walk over, no, not walk over, lumber over, put on the headsets, like they're using a radio from the Korean War, and wind it up. Sparky, are you there? That's my one MASH reference I'm going to make for today. And call up someone in New York. They wake themselves up in New York, spill their Gray's papaya on their shirt, say, oh yeah, what's going on? Yeah, what happened over there? Hold on, let me rewind it. Let me pop the tape in, rewind. And then sometimes minutes goes by, and you come back and you see the call is either not reversed or reversed or whatever, and it's incorrect. 30 seconds. We're talking about pace of play and everything like that, and you grind a game to a halt, and then there's no explanation. And now that's just it. 30 seconds. And not only 30 seconds, but do you know what? I'm going to give 15 new jobs to the umpires union right now. Have the person on site. Why do we have to call up New York? Why? Are they calling up the Batcave? Why do we have to call them? Are there no cameras at the stadium? Have a representative who's not part of the umpiring crew, but part of the umpires union. So we've just added a job sitting in the booth. And they say, we're going to challenge it. They have 30 seconds, 30 damn seconds. Now, if you're looking at video for 30 seconds and you can't determine what the correct call is, guess what? Call in the field stands. That's what instant replay is supposed to be about. Overturning the blown calls that were egregious, or to give the umpires credit, say, hey, you actually got it right. That close tag, he did get him. It's not supposed to be there to be going back and forth like it's the Zapruder film, trying to see if the foot lifted off the base for 1/10 of 1 nanosecond. Oh, let's get down. Hold on. Is there air between them? Is there air between them? It's to prevent things like the Galarraga perfect game from being blown. It's to prevent things from like the Don Denkinger call, where you take one look at it, like, oh, wait, he blew the call. Of which, okay, you blew the call. And there has to be some sense of accountability if an umpire keeps blowing the damn call. But you know what? Sense of praise. If there's close calls, they challenge it. And he's like, the ump got it right. Then that ump should get merits. But it should never take more than 30 seconds. Heck, people are sharing it on Twitter. They're sharing the video on Twitter while they still got the big, huge Mr. Microphone headphones on. Going, oh, hold on. Hold on. We're still looking. We're still looking. If you're still looking, move on. Time to move. Play on the, you get 30 seconds. And then here's the other thing. If the call is overturned, you say why. So you're taking 35 seconds. It takes 5 seconds to say, the glove was on him, but his foot came off the bag. Okay. We looked at the thing, and the ball actually hit the side of the line. Some chalk flew up. It was a fair ball. Got it. Boom. There you go. 35 seconds. We're going to challenge that. Boom. You're on the clock. Not, we're going to challenge that. All right, let's walk over and start the clock. No, immediately. Challenge. Guy in the booth goes back. Takes a look. Oh, look at that. Turns out he did drop it. Oh, look at that. Turns out the center fielder held onto the ball long enough. Boom. We move on. Does not seem to be that complex of an issue. No need to screw this up, folks. No need to make this any harder than it needs to be. Come on, folks. We have people having money on some of these games. The result of the game, of what their bet, is based upon who wins or who loses some of these games, to have it be decided on some umpire not making the right decision and someone working a videotape machine not making the correct call, that's just crazy. And if you want to make a bet, go to Bet Online. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on your sports action. Baseball season in full swing, but guess what? So are the NBA playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs, and you got UFC and MMA action. It's all at Bet Online. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline is your online sportsbook expert. Promo code LOCKEDON. All right, let's bounce around the league to see how the other teams fared in yesterday's game. Let's start with my friend Stacey Gatsoulias from Locked On Yankees.
This is Stacey Gatsoulias of Locked On Yankees, and I would like to start a petition. I would like to write a letter, send it to Rob Manfred with a bunch of signatures from Yankee fans, asking him if the Yankees can play the Twins all the time. Because if the Yankees played the Twins all the time, they'd probably never lose. Of course, now that I said that, they'll probably lose the series finale tomorrow. But they won tonight, 9-6. Should have been 9-2. Brooks Kreisky ran into a little bit of trouble in the bottom of the ninth. Gave up 4 runs. Yeah. Although I think now, because that happened, this is the first game that the Yankees have won where the opponent has scored more than 5 runs. Wow. Took until June 9th for that to happen. With this offense. That's amazing. Anyway, Gerrit Cole pitched well. As far as I know, he didn't have any sticky stuff on him. He got Josh Donaldson out every time he faced him, which is always funny. It's always funny when a guy speaks out about someone and then the guy kind of shuts him up with his play. But yeah, it was a good game all around, except for that ninth inning, but they ended up winning anyway. I'll have the full recap for you on Locked On Yankees and a preview of the series finale in Minnesota.
That is more like it for the New York Mets. This is Ryan Finkelstein, host of Locked On Mets. And the second game of this two-game set against the Baltimore Orioles went a lot better than the first, as the Mets blew out Baltimore as opposed to getting blown out. They met their former friend Matt Harvey and greeted him rudely once again. 7 runs scored off of Harvey, 14 runs in the game for the Mets, 6 home runs, the most they've had all year. The Mets outfield of Billy McKinney, Kevin Pillar, and Mason Williams, 3 guys that you never would have imagined would have started together on opening day. These were 2 guys that weren't even on the team, and your 4th outfielder at the time. They started this game and combined to hit 5 home runs. It was a complete hitting parade, and now the Mets at least get to go home having completed a 5-4 road trip. I'll be talking about this game, what lies ahead, and also Pete Alonso's illuminating comments before the game on tomorrow's episode of Locked On Mets.
Rock on, Rockies fans. You're locked on now for today, this Wednesday, June the 9th. The Rockies have pulled off the what seems like the impossible, a road victory there against the Miami Marlins, and they have done something that I don't believe they have done this entire season. They put themselves in a position to win a series on the road. Will it happen? I don't know. It took everything tonight. Daniel Bard had the bases loaded. There was a walk and lots of runners on late. The Rockies didn't really score a ton, but they were able to pull it off and survive and put themselves in a position to win a series on the road. A big deal. An even bigger deal, Trevor Story, most likely returning to the lineup tomorrow. After we thought he was coming back today, they want to take their time and be cautious. They gave him the extra day. So, big things in Rockies land. Rockies looking to win a road series, and Trevor Story returning to the lineup. I'm Paul Holden. We'll break it all down tomorrow here on the Locked On Rockies, so be sure to stay tuned for that. And until next time, I'm saying so long from the Locked On Rockies podcast.
Goody is Gucci. What a performance by the rookie Vladimir Gutierrez. 7 strong innings, 7 strikeouts, just 2 earned runs allowed. He was able to limit some base runners tonight. That was a phenomenal pitching job, and something that this bullpen, which I don't know, bullpen's a strong word, but something they sorely needed. And then we saw Amir Garrett and Heath Hembree kind of finish out the game. That was good because they didn't have to go to TJ Antone or Lucas Sims, and they're ready for the finale, the rubber match with the Brewers tomorrow, day game Thursday. Also had some good bat action going on. Love the hits coming up. Nick Castellanos, 2 in a row now. Jesse Winker as well getting in. And Joey Votto, he had a ground out RBI, but hey, still an RBI. So, rubber match tomorrow, 12:35. I'm going to be there. Hopefully, we're bringing home a win. La Piedra on the mound against Freddy Peralta. Freddy Peralta looked pretty good last time out. We'll have to see what the lineup does against him. We'll talk about that and more on tomorrow's Locked On Reds podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Carr. Make sure you join me. I'll talk to you then.
All right. Thanks, everyone. We got some games starting in the morning. I love West Coast baseball. And let's just see. This is the moment of truth for a team like the Braves, who had high ambitions for this year. We're in the middle of the season, and I'm in the middle of doing my wrap-up. So you go to the free and easy-to-use Odyssey app and all the places you get your podcasts. Check us out on Twitter at LockedOnMLBPod. Same handle for Instagram. Seeing the Braves in a mid-season crisis. This has been Locked On MLB for the 10th day of June 2021. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes at the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.